Good.
Okay, Ethan is back on the podcast. I think we did it about a year ago today. We're talking about his other films. This one we got there's some he makes really interesting films, let's put it that way. So I want to talk about we'll talk about your hospital art in a few, but I want to talk about Swiss Cheese Holes because it's a very interesting film and it's about you going to Disney World with your family, which is a very common thing in America, Canada. But this is this Disney World has a different connotation for you personally, right? And really, it's a film about being a father in many ways. You being a father yourself, and basically being the son to your father. So tell to people what happened at Disney World for in yourself when you were a child.
Yeah, sure. So the film's very layered, maybe overlayered, and I get into that a little bit. But yeah, when I was in first or second grade, went to Disney World with my family, and my dad had a full mental breakdown for about 2 or 3 days, and my mom lost him for a day or so in the park, and he had a number of episodes where he was under the impression that my mom and the workers at Disney World were poisoning him. And I don't recall most of that from my own childhood, but I do, remember my mom talking about those stories kind of briefly. And then when I was going to bring my own children to Disney World for the very first time, kind of re-brought up a lot of those other ideas, and I was like, okay, this is a place to explore this a little bit.
Why don't we make a film about it? Which, generally speaking, the average person doesn't do that, but basically, you're not the average person, I guess, right?
Sure, yeah, that's true. Yeah, why don't we make a film about that?
But at the same time, it's like this, like, why take your kids to Disney World? Like has to be traumatic for you.
Well, I not really. We had a fine enough time.
Right.
And I think, yeah, it was. I mean, it's well, it's part of some kind of American Mecca. You have to bring your children to Disney World, so we weren't not going to do that and deny them this experience. But it was just an opportunity. I had made the boathouse. I don't want to make every film about my dad.
Yeah.
I had made the Boathouse
The
Row
Boathouse film,
film,
yeah.
and that was very cathartic. Yeah, and it was very cathartic about my dad's mental health and kind of intergenerational trauma. And some part of me felt like that it was lacking humor of any kind, and it shouldn't have. That was a dramatic documentary, but I wanted to, and I don't want to make every film about my dad, but I did want to kind of re-explore that topic in kind of a more lighthearted or stranger way of really digging into what having a mental breakdown in Disney World is, the pressures that a family vacation puts on a family, what that brings up, what that brings to light. And then moreover, just trying to kind of explore going back with my family and then trying to just kind of have a good time within all of that. There was certainly a pressure there, with my father's psychosis. But we really just got to have a good time in the end. So I don't
Well,
know.
I've seen a word in a few of your films, and all your films, even Hospital Art, if you really think about it. It's all about you trying to be the best dad possible. It's about you being a good, trying to be a good dad. That's how I attribute your films.
I think there's a running theme there. I'm working with what I have here. I don't I, I'm not I'm making these films without actors, and I'm trying to explore kind of the family drama and do this on the cheap. And so that's the narrative arc that tries to play out. But sure, I mean, I grew up with this father that was in and out of hospitals and not doing well for
He was
most of
absent.
his life. And
He
I
was
think
absent, right?
He was around. He was around. He actually was kind of addicted to going to the movies, which is interesting, and would just go to the movies all day long. But he was around enough, but mostly absent, you know, kind of while he was mostly just dealing with his own, sure. you know, mental struggles.
That's what I mean. Like emotionally, yeah. like, you know, like emotionally he was a little, and you don't want to be, as a dad yourself, but you have two daughters, you don't want to be absent like your father, right? You want to have, you want your parent, your kids to have a positive, good influence on their father, with their father.
Yeah, exactly. And I think like the where the Boathouse Row film ended, it's like kind of like, oh, I get to be this hero of being present for my kids and things yeah. like that. And I kind of wanted to explore not being the hero, which was like kind of forcing my kids into this weird position of being in a weird, crazy film yeah. and kind of dive into that. You know, the end of Swiss Cheese Holes is me asking my daughters if they would go back to Disney World and have to make a film about their father going crazy in Disney World. And my oldest says she doesn't need to. And then my youngest says she doesn't want to. And I, you know, I think that note really kind of summarized it. You know, it's like, I feel like with Boathouse Row, I tied like a nice neat bow around this family struggle. And this, I wanted to kind of explore what it's like to actually like kind of, yeah, I mean, to try to attempt somewhat to make your family have a terrible time on vacation while trying to film them. yeah.
Well, you're going through it's therapy for you. You're going through a therapeutic experience. It seems like in the film, right? Like, because you're the one who's growing, as like if you look from a character arc, right?
Yeah, that's, I mean, again, that's like kind of the only character arc I could play around with. Yeah. Because I have to film the family. I mean, I'd say it in the film, like my wife asked me, she's like, is this therapy for you? And I'm like, yeah. Nah, I don't know. I, you know, and I think,
oh, it's gotta be like,
yeah, I don't,
you're facing your childhood conflict head on in many ways. Right. So it has to be good. It has to be good therapy.
Maybe, but maybe it's all, and maybe it's therapy, or maybe, and I try to get to this at the end of it a little bit, but it also might just be, yeah, I don't know if yeah. So therapy through recreating your father's insanity and trying to make a film about it. Yeah, I don't know if I processed anything differently about my father following the movie. It was difficult to get through. So I don't know what my therapeutic, for me personally, I don't know what my therapeutic like takeaway from it is. I thought about that a little bit, except that message kind of at the end where it's like, you know, I'm not trying to make fun of my father or this other yeah. director, but making fun out of those kinds of things is more like a way of life for me, I guess. And yeah. and a lot of my films are trying to portray that to some degree.
All right, so let's talk about the film itself. It's 21 minutes long. You show us Disney World in black and white. I'm just kind of get to the brass tacks here. The film is in black and white. Was that always the choice for you? Like, were you always going to make this film in black and white?
Yeah, I was like, black and white documentary all the way. Keeps me from having to worry about color correction and things like that. But it was also playing with this Escape from Tomorrow film.
Thematically it works.
Yeah. Which was shot... Thematically it works. It keeps it kind of dark. I just was like, okay, black and white documentary really feels like it'll fit this. And then, you know, all that kind of pop of the cheese color can kind of come through a little bit more. You know, and Randy Moore had made Escape from Tomorrow in black and white. And that was a choice that got questioned a lot and was kind of interesting. And that film and that the idea of that film was kind of playing throughout my head as I was kind of writing or trying to figure out the plot of this. Yeah.
So the you show your house and you're inside your house and it's like it's got that middle America, middle class vibe to it, right? For the audience, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Might not be the, like,
yeah,
it's like
sure.
the white
yeah, exactly.
the white houses, right? You know what I mean? Yep. It's almost like the white picket fences, but there's a certain, you know, flair to it. You have your own individuality in the house. You're going to Disney World, right? You got two kids, you got a wife.
Right. We're living the dream, so to speak.
And then you're always having trouble backing out. Like, and I like that sequence actually, like that. Was that a real thing that happened? You put the camera and you tried to, like, you filmed yourself backing out of your house with the camper?
We did. I hammed it up a little bit for the film.
Because it's busy. It seems like a busy street. It's not an easy thing to do.
No, it's not. We have struggled with that. That's a tough thing. Yeah.
So you guys drove to Disney World? Is that what you, I'm assuming that's what you did?
We did. Yeah. We did. We went all the way down. It was from New York. It was quite a long journey. We had 3 weeks, so we camped kind of all the way down, but we went further. We went to Sarasota, which was really nice, but it was too quick. It was like we were stopping places for 2 or 3 days, and then we actually all ended up getting COVID in the park and from Disney World.
Yeah.
That didn't make the film just because it would be a weird tangent, but yeah, we went to Magic Kingdom on the first day, and I think It's a Small World actually gave us COVID, and then my wife was coming down with her first symptoms as we were filming in Epcot. So I was trying to film, and she was running off to the bathroom. So then we had to drive all the way back.
That's part of America too, right? Like, you know. If you're going to get COVID, you might as well get it at Disney World, right? So it kind of defines the 20s, I guess. It defines this decade that we're in right now, right? So.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So there's something about watching Disney. Well, because because you kind of tie in with the old kind of like Mickey Mouse shorts, which I saw, and they're like the Swiss cheese and so it kind of like a black and white film. So it kind of ties into that motif, but really, you know, Disney World's a very colorful place, right? It's, you know, it's full of like the mascots, the, you know, and so seeing it in black and white, it has a weird vibe to it. Like, it's like a cool vibe. It's like you're showing America in like this kind of interesting color, right? Non-color, I guess. Right. So I really like that sequence on the roller coaster ride, the teacups, right. And, the mascots, like in black and white, it's kind of has a kind of cool flair to it. I don't know if anybody's ever commented on that with you before.
No, thanks. Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah. I think there is this kind of underlying, you know, American dream aspect of this that's running through, and how that's, you know, something about that not being attainable, or something about just our own mental health getting in the way of that. There were a lot of fathers yelling at their kids throughout the. I was trying to film that a little bit, but that felt weird to be, you know, add in, you know, all these strangers or whatever. But I remember walking through the park in the summer and just being like, well, this is what the movie's about. There were dads freaking out at their families. Yeah. And I think it's just like the pressure of the heat and the amount of money. And then also this idea that like everyone's going to have a good time. Title for the film was like
there's a lot of pressure to have a good time, because it's fucking expensive. Like, let's call it like what it is. Right, it's not cheap to go to Disney World.
They make you wake up at 7 a.m. and get on an app, and you have to like be on your phone the whole day making sure you're getting the right rides and getting your kids the right experience. And then, you know, it's kind of a wild place. And I thought, you know, why not add making a film there to all of that pressure?
Yeah, exactly. Well, okay, so let's talk about that then. Okay, so you did, it was the 3 weeks. I love the camper, you know, because it shows that you're not like some, I'm just calling it what it is, like it's not some uppity family where like you just like go to the Disney hotel and like, you know, in on a plane and you're like, oh, yeah, poor me. But even though I can spend $40,000 to go to Disney World, right? Basically, but you know,
yeah, like, sure. The
aspect, like you're living it. You're living America, you know, you're going in America campsites, you're, you know, It's cool. It's a cool little aspect. So tell me, okay, how many hours of footage did you shoot for this film?
It really wasn't that much at all. I think I had maybe maybe an hour worth of
Oh,
footage
really?
from the park. That was kind of part of the deal with my wife, was that I wasn't actually gonna film the whole time and ruin our vacation. Incorporating the Escape from Tomorrow film helped with some of that. I had about, interviewing my mom, I had to cut down a lot. So there was about, a half an hour of interviewing my mom, and then a half an hour of me and my wife, kind of talking and debating how dumb an idea it is
Kitchen table
to
scene,
make
it's a
this
great
movie.
sequence.
Thanks. So about, 3 hours of 3 or 4 hours of footage in total, and then bringing that down. It was quite a process. I showed some early drafts of it. I was trying to figure out a way to kind of wrap it up in that last sequence, with the Swiss cheese holes diagram. That did not work for a long time, and was something that I redid like 6 or 8 times, just to like get that to work and get all of these disparate pieces to coalesce in the end of it. And I had shown like an early draft to some friends like very late at night, and it did not go over well. And some of my early feedback on it was kind of tough. Like, people were losing elements. Some of the pieces weren't lining up. And so I really dug in there. The editing process on this took, 5 or 6 months of really diving into that and redoing it. So that was kind of the heavy lift of this film.
Yeah, that's a, that that was what I was curious about, because but then you have to, I'm assuming you're figuring out the narrative too, right? And editing, like, you're doing all this footage, you're interviewing your mom, you kind of have an idea what you're trying to say, but then it all kind of, the footage has a life of its own, I guess, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and original idea was for it to get really crazy, in the park, and then my wife and I get like a divorce, and then I'm li living alone because I made this film. That was
That
the
could still
initial
happen. You
idea.
know what I mean? It could still happen.
Let her know that.
Don't give her any ideas, right?
That was kind of the idea, but then it was like, a friend that I had pitched that to was like, that's just like too fictional. You're kind of playing around with this fictional element of recreating these different elements. And so just go to the park and then figure it out. And I did like that. Usually, like with most of my films, like, I have every single kind of shot and the full narrative figured out before I go in. But this was a different process of like kind of weaving through all these different storylines and trying to find a conclusion that would feel like it worked.
100%. Well, it's a really interesting film, that's for sure. So I hope it serves you well. Let's briefly talk about your other film, Hospital Art, which it seems like a cinema verite, I guess, where I'm assuming you didn't think about the film, you just started shooting. Like, it's basically about, like, all this kind of crazy art. Your daughter got hurt at a park, which is unfortunately sometimes common with kids. They get hurt at parks, and you had to go to the hospital emergency room, and you end up seeing, like, some really interesting art, I guess, right? And that's what your brief film was about.
Brief film, shot it while we were there. I had we had just gotten back from our trip to Disney World, and so we were exhausted, and we had maybe 4 or 5 days of trying to like kind of recoup from our vacation, and then this happened that weekend and kind of sucked everything out of us again. So I was already kind of in the shooting mindset, and I was like, okay, it feels like there's enough of a very short film here. And I think some of the themes are playing, with what was going on in Swiss Cheese Holes a little bit too, where there is this like kind of Mickey Mouse character thing. I was like, okay, maybe this is like a preview short. There's also You know, it's dealing with safety and the lack of being able to maintain safety and those kinds of concerns. So, you know, all of those things were kind of in my head already. And then being able to, you know, have this experience, and I was just like, okay, I'll just shoot my opinion of this terrible art very quickly while we're in the hospital. Just a little short kind of fun thing.
But you should like, there's a sequel to this film where like you could dig into like, why was this art chosen? Was it someone that donated to the hospital? That's my thinking. And it was like their like nephew or something like that who thinks that they're an artist and say, I'll give you $5 million.
But yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the dolls and things like that. And that, it's really fun because like people have been very, very, divided on some of the art too. Like it played a comedy festival a few weeks ago and someone was like, I really like the dolls. And a few people were kind of into that and they were like, I found them comforting. And I was like, okay, well, you know,
perspective.
Yeah. I mean, the film's digging. Yeah. It's about perspective and it's about, you know, these kind of weird things that we do try to do to comfort ourselves around, you know, the most difficult situations that we can be in.
Yeah. Well, it's true.
And sometimes it doesn't live up to its expectation, at least for me. Yeah.
No, because you're filming under stressful situations, right? You talk about like the stress of like going on vacation with your family and like that pressure of like, you know, shelling out a few thousand dollars to go to Disney World and making sure your kids, quote unquote, have a good time. And then there's nothing, I can't even imagine. There's nothing worse than I can't imagine, unfortunately, but there's nothing worse than your kid being hurt. Right. And basically, then waiting, having to go to a hospital and waiting for the doctor to take care of them. And like, it's like, then you're like, do you trust the doctor? And like, and you know what I mean? It's like, and you so wish you could just trade places with them, right? And then you decide to make a film under these stressful circumstances, right? So.
Yeah, I think it was ripe for tackling, you know, and it's, yeah, you know, it's kind of like the art and the experience of being in the hospital. It's kind of like, they're not really able to personalize. Like it is a shitty experience being there. And so
yeah,
I don't think we should try to doll it up. Yeah. So we try to doll it up and put a pretty bow on it, but it might just be interesting to be like, okay, this is like a good friend listening to you would be like, this is terrible. This is, you're in a bad place. And maybe, I don't know, maybe the hospital could communicate that too. Like we're trying, like, this is rough. You're going through a rough time and that's okay. You know, it was certainly an interesting thing. And the hospital, you know, I think, figuring out, afterwards, I like your idea of diving in and seeing what the reasons for people bringing the art in. How did it get there?
Yeah.
Whose nephew was making a painting? Yeah, I like that a lot.
Or who decided this? It was like, did they go to the committee? Like, there's all usually a hospital board of directors, right? And it's like, did they have an hour conversation about what art to bring in? You know what I mean? So it's always interesting, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I also made a mistake that night. Like, I couldn't sleep, obviously. My daughter was like lying next to me. And so I just rewatched Persona, which was a bad choice in the hospital.
Yeah,
and it kind of set, I think, a weird tone for the movie. Yeah, it was a weird choice.
You generally go with the brainless comedy, right? When those circumstances. So, yeah.
yeah, but I wanted to dive into Persona for some reason and really dig into it. I don't know.
Listen, I remember taking my daughter to the emergency room, and it's infuriating because it's like, so I don't know how it is where you are, but it was like such a long time to wait, right? And
it was like 8 hours. Yeah,
that's crazy, right? So that's nuts.
Yeah.
But what are you doing? Well, we have socialized medicine in Canada, so we're not going to complain about anything. But it's just a little bit. It's a little bit nuts. It's a little bit nutty, right? Like it didn't.
Yeah, you can just rub that in, though. That's all right. You guys are doing good.
What's
That's
that?
Great. with socialized medicine. Good job. Good. No, it's okay.
Sorry. But there's only like 40 million, I guess, what they say, 40 million. Well, you have Obamacare, but there's only 40 million people who don't have coverage, I guess, right? If you want to like go on a quick segue.
And we're teachers, so we're okay. But my wife and I are in education, so we're okay. Yeah,
it is a little. Yeah, if you want to go down that rabbit hole, it is a little nutty, like from an outside perspective. Like even around the world, right? Like how does the richest country not have socialized medicine, right? It's a class problem, right?
Like they exactly. Don't no, exactly.
About yeah. about yeah. poor people, yeah. right? So
right, right. Yeah, yeah exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 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 That's the long form version of hospital art. It digs into that a little bit too. Yeah.
No, exactly. That's what I mean. That's what would be a great documentary. It's like what rich kid basically got this art. You know, I'm saying that hypothetically, right? If in case that shows you
what the issue is,
right? Right? Like that there's a problem. Yeah. There's a class problem going on, right? So.
Yeah. Yeah. The lady that donated all of those dolls, you know, is clearly extremely wealthy, right? Yeah. We're in Westchester. It's like a very wealthy area, you know?
Okay.
And yet, you know, how about let's donate to, you know, socializing or find a way to like, you know, pour our money into actually providing everyone with medical
or care. Get poor artists who basically are on their way up to get their art in the hospital, right? So they get some exposure, right? So
or someone like with a broken arm making the painting, you know, or something like that. Like let's get creative in there, you know.
No, that's what I mean. It's a loophole into the bigger issue with the medical system in the States, right? So, just an idea.
For sure. Yeah, no, it's good. I like that a lot.
All right, man. Well, congratulations. Why don't we talk next year? I'm sure you're going to make more movies because you always do. And we have a good arrangement, you and I. And people can also watch your films on our app, wildsound.ca, and you basically can watch your films now if you want, and basically because they're amazing, and I hope you enjoyed the experience this time around as well.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks so much, Matt. Appreciate it.
All right, let's talk next year then.
Sounds good. All right. Let's see.